Good evening. Welcome to the latest in our series of candidate forums ahead of the March primary election, which is now just 1 month away. I'm Chris Oakes, and this evening we are featuring the two individuals running for the Republican primary in the 83rd district seat, the Ohio House of Representatives. The candidates are incumbent John Cross and challenger Ty Matthews, and welcome to both of you this evening. As with past forums of this type, most of the questions, which neither candidate has seen in advance, will be directed generally to both of you. We will allow 2 minutes for responses. Follow-up questions or further discussion between the candidates will be allotted 1 minute. And with that, let's begin with 2 minutes each for opening remarks, and we'll begin with Mr. Cross.
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you to the WFIN for hosting this great forum. We enjoy this opportunity to talk with you all tonight. First, I want to welcome my family that's here, Carson, Christina, and Connor. And we'd like to thank the Findlay and Hancock County community for welcoming us to your beautiful community. We love it here, and we are getting settled in nicely here. It is an honor to serve you for 3 terms in the Ohio House of Representatives as your conservative champion for this district. This campaign I'm defining is based upon the 3 key words of our campaign: experience, leadership, and results. The mission 6 years ago has been the same when I first started, is to keep Ohio safer, stronger, and open for business. And I'm pleased to report to you, in my eyes, that I believe Ohio is better today than it was 6 years ago. We have reduced regulations. We have reduced and cut your taxes. We have a AAA rating by all 3 creditors in the state of Ohio. We, by law, unlike Congress, by law, have to balance a budget. We have maxed out the rainy day fund. We have invested your tax dollars wisely and well. We have fixed an unconstitutional school funding formula, now in its second phase, making it a constitutional funding formula that goes all the way back to 1996. We have worked to make Ohio a business-friendly state. Recently, they look at the business friendliness every year, and then this year they've ranked Ohio a top 10 business friendly state to start and do business in. We are preventing a woke culture from entering the bounds of Ohio, and we are fighting every day to protect our life and protect our liberties, and certainly we always are in the pursuit of happiness. As far as leadership goes, I've worked really hard by serving on our finance committee all 3 terms. Was that a ding? We're done? Okay. 2 minutes. There we go.
two minutes.
Thank you, Chris.
Mr. Cross, thank you
ding,
very much.
Ding, we're
done. And Mr. Matthews?
Yep, thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. And I just wanted to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight. Thank you for being involved and concerned about local politics. I'm just going to take the last minute and 45 seconds here to tell you a bit about myself and why I'm running. I grew up in Arlington. I'm a proud Arlington Red Devil. I graduated in 2013, and after college, I went on to Cedarville University, which is a small Christian university near Dayton, Ohio. I most recently just got my master's degree in executive leadership from Liberty University. After college, I went on to work at the state treasurer's office, first as his special assistant, and then as policy aide. During that time, and currently, I am serving in the Ohio Army National Guard. I enlisted as a chaplain assistant, and then I commissioned as an infantry officer. By far, the hallmark of my military career has been my recent deployment to Iraq. Overseas, I served as a battle captain. There are 3 of us on the base. We were responsible for the overall coordination of the base and the embassy in Baghdad. That incorporated target engagement authority. There's only 3 of us on the base that had that. And what that means, if there is a hostile air track, airplane, drone, I was 1 of 3 people with the authorization to engage that air track. And I'm a conservative. You've seen the signs all around town. Those 3 stars stands for God, country, and family. And that's what I live my life by, and also what I believe this country was founded upon. And I am running because I love this community. I love this country. This community, this country has given me everything. And what better way than serving those same people in that community.
Thank you. Let's begin with the biggest elephant in the room with respect to this campaign. That is the debate over House Bill 2 and the earmarks it contains, totaling half of the money from the one-time Strategic Community Investment Fund. Mr. Matthews, you have sharply criticized Mr. Cross for what you describe on social media as false information and misleading statements regarding that bill. Please expand on that.
First of all, I want to say I am not against grant money. I hope those tax dollars come to our district. I really do. But again, and my message throughout this is, don't take my word for it. Right here, I have the memo from the Senate President Huffman saying that there was never a deal made. I've got fellow state representatives saying there was no deal made. Even in this, in a, my opponent's press release, it alludes to that he secured a record amount of money. Nothing is secured. Nothing is. There's a process. That process still has to go through the Senate, and it has to go to the governor. And I've got, and I've talked to other senators, and I encourage you to also talk to the other senators. There's a process to this, and typically you meet before you have negotiations, and I won't get into the nitty-gritty, but there is 16 counties here in Ohio that received zero money back. It was political maneuvering, and I think it's pretty clear when you look at the facts. And I encourage you all to look into it and not just take my word for it.
Mr. Cross, how do you respond to those criticisms?
Well, it's not a day that doesn't go by that someone doesn't criticize legislation that goes before the Ohio House. Every even year, we do a capital budget. And because the state of Ohio was in a good financial position, as I talked about, there was a $700 million carryover in our funds. We could do two things with it. We could give it back to all of you, which some people would like, and that's probably about, yep. We'll be glad to write you a $31 check, because that's what it equates to, $31 per taxpayer. Or what the House and Senate agreed to, because my opponent wasn't in the room, but the finance chairman of the Senate, the finance chairman of the House were in the room, and the deal was, we'll split it in half. The Senate gets 350, the House gets 350, and we'll start to work on capital budget-like projects. And so we're pleased over the last several months to reach out to a lot of folks who are in need of this money. This is not Columbus's money. This is your money. This is your money that you send to Columbus. And it's our job to fight like heck to bring that money back home. One of the things I talk about often is, I've lost track, but over $100 million of your tax funds, we have worked hard and fought to bring back here to work for our district, whether it's school funding, flood mitigation, community projects, law enforcement, safety. We've worked really hard. So the good news is we passed House Bill 2, and that's a real, live, living document. There's $9.7 million earmarked for our projects right here in the 83rd District. Close to $3 million of that is earmarked for projects here in Findlay. And I cannot wait this summer to bring big checks back home and bring your money back home. Because when we pass this bill, and the reason why we're trying to pass this bill right now is it takes 90 days after the bill is signed by the governor for those dollars to come through. So we're asking the Senate to get the work, pass their version of the budget, get the governor to sign it, and then we'll deliver the money, rightly so, right back here to the 83rd District.
As a follow-up, Mr. Matthews, you were mentioned at the outset that you are not opposed to grants. Do you take issue with any of the projects that have been designated to receive funding in HB2?
No, absolutely not. And I hope they receive their funding. And to go back to what my opponent just said, there is a memo out here. And it's not, this isn't even my words. This is dated February 7th, 2024, from Senate President Matt Huffman. Quote, "To be clear, there is no such agreement. The bill passed by the House did not include negotiations or discussions with members of the Senate or with the Senate President. Approving the large spending bill without additional debate would be irresponsible and an abdication of duties of the Senate. Normally, both chambers work together to create an agreed-upon bill. For unknown reasons, the House chose to break that process." And I'm reading between the lines, and I'm saying political maneuvering. Again, I am not against grants, and I'm not against that any of that money coming back here. It's just when you have, again, for those on the radio, I'm holding up a picture here of my opponent presenting $500,000 to other organizations. I mean, that alludes to that's secured, that's guaranteed. I don't want these organizations that work hard for our community to make our community a better place to get burnt on this. So what I'm doing is I'm just raising a red flag here. Don't budget for these funds, because it has a process. And from, again, my opponent's colleagues in the House and in the Senate, I urge you all to call them. They will echo what I'm saying. They will say, pump the brakes, take a breather. The Senate has to do their own thing. They have an application process open till April 8th. I have 20 seconds here, so I'm going to be really, really brief on this. Again, 16 counties did not receive any of their taxpayer dollars back. Yeah, I would love Hancock, Hardin, and part of Logan County to get all this fund, right? But when we look at this as Ohioans, that is our taxpayer dollars. And to be fair, every county should have a seat at that table.
And Mr. Cross, what assurances can you give that the projects set to receive funding in HB2 will ultimately receive those full amounts in the final bill that eventually clears the Senate and lands on the governor's desk?
Yeah, well, the best guarantee is the Speaker of the House basically saying if these projects don't get funded in the House, nothing gets funded. We can easily just return the money and give you $31 each. See, what my opponent is doing is he's falling for the traps. First, when you go to the Ohio House, you don't work for the Ohio Senate. You work for the Ohio House. You work for the people of the 83rd District. President Huffman can write memos all day long, but I don't pay attention to them, because it's the business of the House to debate and argue and fight for what the Senate may agree or disagree. Senator McCauley and I have a great working relationship. Doesn't mean we always agree on things, but we work things out. You are just watching a negotiation happen on the front page of the newspaper because it's politics. It's political season. It's silly season. It's no secret that Senator Huffman's termed out. He's coming to the Ohio House and wants to be the Speaker of the House. And my opponent is a vote for President Huffman. So it is very clear that politics is at play. Now, who's here tonight? The Kenton mayor, who's going to receive $500,000 for a new fire truck. And the mayor of Kenton told everybody very crystal clear that she told council that she knew exactly what the Ohio House was doing. She knew exactly what the commitment from the Ohio House is. You can ask the mayor, you can ask Ohio Northern University, you can ask the YMCA. What we need to do is collectively rally behind these projects and these community members, because they've worked hard for this. They deserve this money. I'll continue to work hard and negotiate with the Senate. But like I said, we will get this done. We've delivered results since I've been there for 6 years, and Chris, we're looking forward to getting this bill signed by the governor and delivering results and basically putting politics aside and getting people's money back home. This is what it's all about. It's your money. We're going to fight like hell to get it back here and support projects that need it. These communities need it. These people need it. And that's why you sent me to Columbus, to fight like heck to bring our dollars back home.
There have been accusations that House Bill 2 played favorites with funding projects in districts that supported Jason Stevens in his bid for House Speaker over Derek Marin. Mr. Cross, you were among those who supported Mr. Stevens in that vote, a move that angered many hardline conservatives. Explain your support for Speaker Stevens to those who were angry at that vote.
Well, pretty simple. Jason Stevens is a great conservative leader for the House. And the reason why we wanted to back him is because we knew we would have an adult in the room that had the maturity and the foresight to make sure that they could lead the Ohio House. Being Speaker of the House is certainly not an easy job, something that I thought about doing myself, but then did not do and backed Mr. Stevens to be the Speaker. You're seeing the same thing unplay in Washington, D.C. when some Republicans kicked out Kevin McCarthy and put in this new Speaker of the House. We just made our decision early on that Speaker Stevens was the right person. And I'll tell you why he's the right person for our district is because he cares about Northwest Ohio. Of the five members of the House leadership team, there are two members from Northwest Ohio. Jim Hoops, who serves as the majority whip from Napoleon area, Northwest Ohio, and myself as the assistant majority leader. To have your member of the House serve in leadership puts you all at the table where the decisions are going to be made, where the money decisions are going to be made, the policy decisions are going to be made. We don't give participation trophies away in the Ohio House. We don't give, oh, you're a good legislator, you're going to get $9.7 million. Every legislator, all 99 members, have to fight for their bills, they have to fight for their money, they have to fight for their districts. And to say that there are 16 counties I don't know how many legislative districts that would be, because, you know, some counties are multiple counties per district. But I thought we did a very nice job spreading the money wisely and well throughout Ohio. And I'll end with this. Jay Edwards, the finance chairman, 2 years ago, he's the finance chairman today. 2 years ago, he got $0 when Speaker Kupp was the speaker. And today, he's now the finance chairman in charge of that budget. So it always changes. Things can change depending upon the General Assembly.
Mr. Matthews, on the question of the House Speaker vote, would you have supported Mr. Marin for Speaker, and what is your rationalization for that decision?
Yeah, absolutely, and there's a lot to unpack right here with what was just said over here, and I want to talk on that just for a second before hitting that. Is, again, look up the facts. Democrats only control 32 of the seats, and virtually every single member received funding. Those 16 counties, there are people that didn't support Jason Stevens. I've got more documentation up here for those on the radio showing what they call it, the Blue 22 bailout. Every single person that is being challenged, every incumbent that's being challenged, received a large amount of this money, and 16 counties received nothing. Going back to the speaker issue, absolutely, I would have supported Derek Marin. Why? Because I'm a man of my word. If I give you my word in caucus that I'm going to vote a certain way, and you go on the floor, and you betray the party, you betray our community, that's what happens. You get censured by the Ohio Republican Party, and you lose the Ohio Republican Party endorsement. And that's what happened to my opponent. Again, I'm going to be clear and concise throughout tonight. Words can be fluffy. Just read between the lines. When we talk about what happened to McCarthy, trying to compare that to here, it's fluff. Look through the words. Quite frankly, I'm tired of politicians doing one thing and saying one thing and doing another. Let's be clear and concise on what's actually going on.